Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted. And if you didn't hit that bell button, you missed a hell of a show last night. I got to tell you, I am absolutely blown away by all the support. I talked to a couple of listeners that were in the chat room last night personally on the phone, and I wanted to thank them. Like, I was talking to them about this. You know, a lot of people might think the way that I talk about you guys, the supporters of the content that I'm putting out, is ingenuine, but it really, really isn't. Because you guys got to realize this. I have never, ever went off on a venture on my own when it comes to, like, content, when it comes to, like, audio or video, without having a terrestrial radio show to be able to promote it on. And it just, I hate to use the phrase, it warms my heart. But I really do love every single one of you guys. Because, you know, it's been a really, really tough time for me as of late. And just to be able to talk to people, Mark, the guy that was in the chat room last night, I talked to him for probably about a half hour, 40 minutes. He was the one that was telling me that I should not talk about the Seth Kush situation. And I'm not even going to get into that. If you want to check it out, just go to my YouTube page. You'll be able to get caught up on everything. I had a great conversation with him. I had a great conversation with Nedley Mandingo, not the real Nedley Mandingo. Well, that's kind of a contradicting statement, not the real Nedley Mandingo, but the one that always joins the chat rooms. Talked to him last night for a little bit. And I just want to thank every single one of you, because I made some good money last night. It was one of the most popular live streams that I did. It seemed like it was a real heat getter. You guys all liked it, and I cannot thank you enough. And as well as my daily downloads when it comes to the Tuttle Daily Podcast have been through the roof. Now, before I get into the content, I want to, because I'm not playing commercials anymore, people. Because like I said, this is on demand. And what does everybody do when they're watching something that's DVR'd or on demand? They always fast forward through the commercials. So before I get into the content, I want to thank my newest sponsor, Ian Hanna. Ian Hanna, I've been talking to him for quite a while, and there was this thing that they were looking for. It was like a search party. And he was using his drone. He wanted me to help him out promoting or trying to get people to come out and help. And he started and got his realtor license at ianhannahomes.com. And if you want to buy or sell a house, or you know a friend that wants to buy or sell a house, tell them to check out ianhannahomes.com. He covers the Flagler, Volusia, Brevard areas here in the state of Florida. And the guy is hungry. He does great drone footage. You know, like, one of the most important things you want, especially during, you know, because we get a lot of hurricanes here, you want to check out the roofs. And the best way to do that is with a drone, and Ian is great at it. So make sure, just give him a shot. Go to his website, ianhannahomes.com, and if you do end up calling and checking him out, Make sure you tell him you heard about it on the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Yesterday, We got a new person that moved into the park. You know, all the snowbirds have not moved down here yet. But this woman, she's from Trinidad and Tobago, or is it Tobago? I ended up talking to her last night, and I you know, like, I asked her, I said, what do you call people that are from Trinidad and Tobago? Like, if you're from America, you're an American. If you're from Florida, you're a Floridian. And she said, oh, well, I mean, they call us Trinnies. And I was like, is that, like, a cool, politically correct thing to say is Trinnies? Because Trinnies does, like, I don't even know that much about Trinidad and Tobago or Tobago. Only thing I know about them is back when I was drinking, I would go to the Orlando City games. The Trinidad and Tobago people were the rowdiest bunch. They would bring car rims, just like all types of scrap metal, and they would just be beating and banging and just having a great time. But Trini, when I hear Trini, am I the only one when I hear Trini, that it just sounds like a racial, like, epithet or like a racial slur just hearing the word Trini? But her name is Ramona. She moved down here from New York, and she ended up buying a fixer-up trailer. She's been working on it. She made some really spicy curry that she brought over for me and my mom. So she wanted to go check out the park that's right next door. You know, the boat ramp, the county park. So we went there. We went into the woods a little bit where they have the camping grounds. And I have not gotten ate up by red bugs in a very, very long time. But man, oh man, I woke up this morning. I mean, it's not as bad as the original time that I got red bugs. And a lot of people probably don't even know what red bugs are. They're also known as chiggers. I will say that again, and I will spell it out just to make sure that nobody thinks that I'm being a racist. Chiggers. C-H-I-G-G-E-R-S. Chiggers. What I'm trying to say is I just don't want to get caught up with all the cancel culture and stuff, but the worst that I ever had red bugs. I don't even know if I've even told this story before. About the first or second grade, me and my dad, we went out. Well, I wasn't carrying a gun at the time. I was too small. But we went squirrel hunting. We were out in the woods, a lot of moss around. I didn't even think about it. Next morning, get up, go to school. I think I was in the first or second grade. And I go to use the restroom. I ask the teacher. And then when I went to go use the bathroom to take a piss, my testicles, which, you know, you got to think that they were pretty small as a first or second grader, were swelled up like almost like, I don't know, like I don't even know what you could compare it to. I don't want to say softballs, but maybe like a small tangerine. I was so ate up with red bugs that my testicles swelled to twice their size. Had them all down my legs. For some reason, I did not get bit on the shaft of my penis. I wonder why. I don't know. Maybe it was too small back then. Maybe it was, you know, kind of, you know, doing the turtle hidey hole thing. But, yeah. And if you're from the South, and I would like to hear your remedies for chiggers or red bugs. I don't even know if this even works or not, but everybody in the South believes that if you put fingernail polish on the red bug bite, it actually helps. And a lot of people would think that this is very traumatizing, but it really is. And it's one of those things that me and my mom joke about all the time. But this is embarrassing to admit. She painted every red bug bite on my testicles with fingernail polish. I don't know. I don't know. I probably could have done it myself, but she did it. And you know what? Guess what? My mom wiped my dirty ass after I pooped my diapers and stuff. So it's not like it's anything bad. It wasn't anything like inappropriate. But yeah, I was walking around with fingernail polish. I mean, my testicles look like one of those pink polka dot like beach balls that you see. I don't even know why that even helps. I guess everybody thinks that they burrow down in the skin and you got to suffocate them with the fingernail polish. But I would like to hear, like, do you guys have any, like, home remedies for red bugs or chiggers? I would love to hear from you. You can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Or you can leave me an email, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com. So for any of you guys that want to say that I hide or hold anything back, I just admitted to you that my mom put fingernail polish on my swollen testicles from red bugs or chigger bites. And, like, I remember it kind of, sort of. I remember that, you know, one of those shop fans, because it was hot. My testicles were burning up because of all the bites and everything. And this is, you also got to remember, this is before puberty, so it's not like I had any hair down there. But man, oh man, I still remember that to this day. You know, the other, yesterday when I got done with the live stream on YouTube talking about Seth, Richard Longwood, if you guys are a fan of the Bubba the Love Sponge show or the Bubba Army, then you know who Richard Longwood is. Yeah, it is a very hacky-ass name. I'm not going to put him on the spot and put his real name out there, but Richard Longwood, that had me blocked for quite a while. And he wanted to come at me and say all the embarrassing things that I've done on the air. And I just want to tell all the haters out there just a little bit of advice. Whatever you've heard me do or say on the air or any of the embarrassing stuff, it holds no weight against me. It really does not bother me at all. So what I'm trying to say is that was all in the name of entertainment. Yes, when I had the butt plug in me, or, you know, the scissorkle jerk, you know, I could say it. I'm trying to be too. The circle J. I'll say the circle J because, you know, I am now monetized. And sometimes, you know, advertisers don't want that type of material right after their commercials. None of that stuff bothers me. I choose to do what I want on the air. And any of the embarrassing stories that I tell you guys is because I want to tell you. Because, I really think that everybody knows that's the reason why Howard became so big. Because he talked about everything, even if it was embarrassing about himself. And I really do think that's the reason why the podcast that I'm doing or any of the content that I'm putting out there is connecting with audiences. Because I'm sharing my deepest, darkest secrets. You know, for example, the day that I tried to kill myself. Who would have went into work an hour later and talk about that? Nobody, because they would have been embarrassed. But I shared it. One of the worst mistakes that I could have done because it landed me in the mental institution for 11 days. And that was the worst time of my life. But, well, no, I'll take that back. My dad dying is the worst. And me laughing, that's just an uncomfortable tick that I have. Like, when I'm in a, like, depressed or bad or uncomfortable mood, I will uncomfortably laugh. It's just something that I do. I wasn't laughing about my dad dying. But, yeah. The mental institution is probably a second. Third, having my mom paint my balls with fingernail polish because I got ate up and they swole to the size of tangerines from red bugs and chiggers. The next story, I found this story really, really interesting. And I got a big solution, an easy solution for this whole story. The story says, why liquor shortages caused by COVID-19 pandemic persist in some states. A fair warning for your next trip to the liquor store. Several states across the U.S. are still experiencing booze shortages related to COVID-19, and it's unclear when the supply will be able to meet demand. Early in the pandemic, it was often common to find libations low in stock after some liquor stores briefly closed amid statewide lockdowns and skyrocketing consumer demand for alcohol. Well, I can already tell you, there were a lot of people. The reason why we're having a booze shortage was everybody was working from home. You know, you could easily, you know, put vodka and say it was Sprite in a glass with ice, and nobody would ever know. You know that people wait all day, their boss is breathing down their neck, and they just want to go home, and they want to get effed up and drink. So there was a big run on alcohol. And you know, listen, I'm sure that there are some people that are listening to this podcast, and they're like, oh my God, how does Tuttle have like a spy camera in here? Because yeah, I was getting blasted every single day, drinking my ass off when I'm talking to my boss on the other line on a Zoom meeting. But I got an easy solution for this. You know, growing up in the South, living close to the most famous racetrack in the world, I know a lot of people debate if it's the Daytona International Speedway or the Brickyard up in Indianapolis. But NASCAR was founded by moonshiners. So if you want to get this whole debacle behind us, go to a place called the Appalachian Mountains. And I don't know if you guys, because I know people all over the world are listening to this show, but go and find a group of people that are called hillbillies that live at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains that have their stills. Because, like I said, back to NASCAR, moonshiners, the whole sport was founded on people having fast cars outrunning the cops just like it was the Dukes of Hazzard. And if I'm just being honest, it's probably going to be cheaper and it's going to be stronger. Now, there might be a lot of people going blind because there have been family members. My dad's uncle, Uncle Udale, he was a moonshiner in Florida. He could shake the bottle and tell from the bubbles that were being made from the moonshine on how strong it was, if it was good or bad. So, you know, we're all wanting to put people to work. Why not? Why not get the hillbillies to start supplying all this liquor? It's going to be stronger. And hell, you know what? If your car runs out of gas and you got a bottle of that moonshine in a mason jar or something, just put it in your car. It'll probably clean out the carburetor at the same time and get you to the nearest gas station. And also, where does that come from? I don't know if you guys ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies and they would have that jug. Why did the jug have triple X on it? I don't know where that came from. And then also, was it ever true? I watched a lot of cartoons back in the day, and like Bugs Bunny or like Daffy Duck or any of those guys would be like in the Swiss Alps skiing, and there would be trouble. There would be this Saint Bernard with a barrel around his neck, and I guess it was supposed to be bourbon, and they would pour the little Saint Bernard cartoon would come up there, open it up, give Bugs or Daffy a little swig of that, and it would warm them right up. Is that an urban legend, or did they really, like, have St. Bernards walking around with jugs of bourbon around their neck to save people while they were out skiing? I think we'll do just fine. Also, at the same time, You know, we got that Shrinkonomics. I don't know if you guys have really, really heard about that, about the whole supply and demand. We're actually paying more for less now here in the United States. I think it's a big-ass ripoff. Do I really, really think that there is an alcohol shortage? No. Big alcohol, big tobacco, any of those, like, legal drugs, you know, they all want to bust their balls about weed shortages. Weed should be illegal. But now these big tobacco companies, hey, let's pull it back a little bit. We're not going to, like, produce as much stuff, and we can charge more because the demand is higher. On the line with me right now is the one and only Charlie Alamo. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I might need a second, though, Tuttle. I'm adjusting the bow tie on my tuxedo shirt.
I just got done talking about a story of there being a booze shortage in the United States.
Which booze?
Like, just in general, like alcohol, not beer, but I'm talking about liquor.
Mm. Yes.
And my thing was, you go to the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains and you get the hillbillies to start making some moonshine, start turning it out. Don't we want to get people employed?
Absolutely. And moonshine is the best. I actually know a friend who knows someone who went and learned how to make moonshine from the legendary Popcorn Sutton. This guy's batshit crazy and lives in, I probably shouldn't say where he lives. He doesn't live in Montana, I'll tell you that. He lives a few states away. But he makes some of the best moonshine. It's
probably
incredible.
Cheaper and stronger. It's cheaper and stronger, probably.
It's not. It's comparable to what, a good strong liquor, expensive type of liquor would cost. It's not too crazy. You get it in a milk jug, so that alone is worth the price.
It won't eat through the plastic like gasoline.
No, it will eventually. You usually get it out and then put it in jars.
Yeah, sure. I was talking about that. If we had more moonshine on hand, like if you were starting to run out of gas, you know, you just pour a little bit in the tank and you could be on your way at least to get to a gas station.
Especially with the way that these new cars run anyway. They run off of
ethanol.
Yeah, so it would absolutely work. It would work better now than it would have 20 years ago.
I want to get your opinion. There's a story out where, you know, everybody's giving Daniel Craig, the guy that plays James Bond.
Oh, yeah, they're giving him crap about the woman statement.
I kind of agree with them, though. See, because I'm a big Doctor Who fan, and I know that makes me sound like the biggest nerd in the world, but they actually brought a woman in to play the Doctor, and it just has not been the same.
Okay, I can understand that. What about when they brought in Hilary Swank to play Rocky Balboa, and then she got crippled?
$1 million baby. Oh, well, I mean, what about Hilary Swank and the next Karate Kid?
What about Hilary Swank and Boys Don't Cry? Sexy.
Oh, see, now that, yeah, that was kind of hot, though.
Yeah, that movie was not. It was. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Didn't she use a fake penis at one time to simulate having sex?
Are you saying she used a stunt one?
Yeah, well, no, I'm not saying.
Marky Wahlberg did in Boogie Nights.
Yeah. Were you ever a fan of The Office?
Which one?
The British or, the American one.
Not really.
Well, they had this whole.
I've seen a couple episodes, but not really.
They had a debate about Hilary Swank, hot or not. And everybody was divided. They were talking about the definition of hot. Like, Hilary Swank can be hot in some things, but man, sometimes she just has very manly, like, facial features.
What about that movie where she tried to pretend she was Michelle Pfeiffer and teaching those kids poetry?
Oh, yeah. Dangerous Minds was a great movie, though. I'm sorry.
It was a great movie. And plus, any movie that has Coolio on the soundtrack, I mean, that alone.
Did you ever see the live performance that Coolio did on Howard's show?
Of that song?
Of that song, Gangster's Paradise?
No, I have not. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, and they do it, and it's great because they get that. Have you ever the big fat humongous black guy that does, you know?
Oh yeah, that does that's the
high part. Thing.
Yeah.
Well, man, he was sweating, man. He just, you know, when fat people just sweat, like they sweat like while taking a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. Howard was loving it. And Coolio was like, you know, 96, we're on 92 K-Rock. It was 92.3, right?
Yes.
Was, yeah, 92.3 K-Rock. You know, it was really, really good. And, you know, it was amazing. Now, what was your favorite movie where somebody had to come in and clean up an inner city? Stand By Me was a really great one, in my opinion.
Stand By Me was good. I would say.
Or was it Stand By Me?
No, Stand By Me is the one with the kid that gets killed on the railroad track.
Yes, yeah, but what was the one with Morgan Freeman where he came in and was the principal?
Morgan Freeman? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a bunch of inner city kids. Can you look that up real quick? I can't. Oh, God damn it. What was...
Morgan...
But there was a lot of those. Remember Jim Belushi, the principal? Or yes. Was it John Belushi?
No, it was Jim, for sure.
It was Jim. And
John
would have
been
in,
dead.
He came in and remember, he was all tough. And he came in with a baseball bat and stuff. And I think, what's his guy that played in the Iron Eagle movies? Or, you know, what was his?
The black guy?
The black guy.
That wasn't Reggie. That was, Lou Gossett.
Yeah, Lou Gossett was like his sidekick in that one.
You know, I was going to. Two of them come to mind. The substitute, the first one, not the Treat Williams ones. I'm talking about the Tom Berenger substitute.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember somebody threw a can and he caught it.
Yeah, but that was awesome. And then Samuel L. Jackson was in a movie called
Coach Carter.
No, 187, I think it was, where he kills his students.
Well,
he kills a young Clifton Collins Jr.
Wait, no, I don't. I think he killed. Doesn't he kill himself?
Yeah,
remember at the end they were doing Russian roulette.
He kills that. He does kill a kid though in that.
I think he might have, but that was a great one too, man. His acting was very intense in that final scene.
Even that crappy movie that he made where he plays like the next door neighbor to those lily white people that move in and he starts harassing them. That movie was great too.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Man, Jackson has done a lot. He may have the biggest filmography on IMDb, correct?
I would think so. I mean, everybody wants to work with him. How could you not?
What was that one? Was it the Deep Blue Sea, the one where he gets eaten by the shark? Remember where the shark comes out of the water and just eats him out of nowhere?
And LL nobody... Cool J hits the shark with his chain because he's the cook.
Well, while we're on shark movies, what about Jason Statham and the Meg? The Megalodon? Did you ever watch that one?
No, I did not watch that.
It's one of those movies that's so bad that it's actually kind of good.
Okay, I've seen a few movies like that.
And the Sharknado movies were horrible, by the way.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that.
But, and then Jaws. I mean, first Jaws was brilliant. And then the other ones after the end, they just kept getting more and more ridiculous. Remember, they did, I think, I don't know if it was Jaws 2. Was that the one that was at SeaWorld?
I can't remember. I actually didn't see that, but I'm not going to sit here and let you badmouth Jaws 3D.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up Jaws 3D.
The Jaws ride at Universal wasn't too bad. I went on that.
Yeah, it's not there.
Yeah, it's gone now. I went on that a few times back in what the kids called the day.
It's actually Diagon Alley now from the Harry Potter movies. They're cashing in on that. And,
it's always fucking Harry Potter stuff, and I don't get into that.
And also another one, the Back to the Future ride is now the Simpsons ride, but there are some little Easter eggs in there.
That Back to the Future ride made me nauseous. It was too close to the screen. I mean, I like seeing the DeLorean that they had parked outside, and I actually still down at the other place, I have a... Back to the Future license plate, the out of time one. Universal Studios was great. Yeah, now Dueling Dragons, which was an awesome ride until they changed it. Is a Harry Potter fucking thing. They actually, the best part about Dueling Dragons was before they changed it to the whatever it is now Harry Potter thing, was when they would go at the same time, But then people started losing change and some kid got killed. And then, of course, they changed it. And then it was never the same.
My favorite story about Dueling Dragons was an amputee wore his fake leg.
Oh, no shit.
And it came off during the ride and went into the lake. They actually, because it was a military guy, and this was like one of these carbon fiber, like
expensive.
The same metal. Yeah, they drained the lake so they could find this military vet's leg. And I'm like, why would you, like, they give you lockers. Could the fake leg not fit in the locker?
It stops right where it starts again. Couldn't you just leave your leg there? They're not going to take it. Put it behind a little kiosk.
But it did. It fell off, and it was a big news story because, like, you know how the local news will latch onto a story, and it was like day three, still have not found the military man's leg.
Oh no, they had leg countdown.
Yes, they did.
Was there other? What else did they find in that lake? I want to know. Was there more legs?
And probably bodies. I mean, who knows?
Dead cast members.
Yeah, dead hookers. People hooking up. And it's amazing, too, because I remember, oh, man. So, you know, the Hard Rock Live is there at Universal Studios.
Yes. I've seen the building.
So we used to do a reenactment radio play of A Christmas Carol. And all the people that were on the air at Real Radio played parts. I played Boy, too. That was my only role that I ever had.
Wait a minute.
In the 8 years.
So last time we talked, you shit on somebody about being named Boy, and you played Boy too. You weren't even Boy one.
Nope. No. Yeah, I'm. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Now, out of the whole cast, who do you think played Scrooge? Now, keep in mind, I'm talking, this is the day where it was Howard, Monsters, Phillips Fowl, and Drew Garabo at night.
They wouldn't have had Russ do that.
No. Russ played Bob Cratchit, or not, the father of Tiny Tim.
Okay, who played Tiny Tim?
Daniel Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, because he was the shortest person on the thing, you know, and everybody would always...
No, I bet that was hilarious.
It was, but no, Drew Garabo played Scrooge for the longest time.
Oh, that's a good one. What did SBK play?
I forget. I think he was I don't want to say it. I think he was a boy as well, too.
Oh, no. Was he Boy One?
Yeah, I think he was.
Okay. He should be ahead of you. That's for sure.
But and then after Drew got fired, who do you think took over the part of Scrooge?
Not you. That's
no, definitely.
Role. Let's see. Not Jim Phillips.
No, let's
what did he
no.
Play?
Jim Phillips was the narrator.
Of course. God damn it. I didn't even think of that one.
And no, it was a guy that loves to maybe use dogs as silencers.
Oh, no. Well, he would make a good Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was. And then like the ghost, you would have all the ghosts. No, actually, Kevin did get upgraded to the ghost of Christmas Future.
Okay. That's a good role. I mean, all the ghosts are good parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. So, and then the reason I'm talking about the Christmas Carol is our GM, not the program director. I don't know if you've ever heard them talk about Chris Kampmeyer at all.
Maybe in passing.
He was a big programmer, but we all could go through the back entrance to park behind the Hard Rock, okay?
Back door's wide open.
Yeah, so he was a big marijuana smoker.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're going through a highly secured place where they check everything and your car smells like weed, they confiscated a bag of pot.
Did he get it back?
No.
Oh my God! What?
And it was rags, by the way. It wasn't even like.
Oh, it wasn't anything good. Then
no,
who cares? But no, still, it sucks to lose a bag. Then you got to go back out and find more if you don't have any. It's just a whole hassle.
Yeah, and then like Bubba Whoop-Ass Wilson and Jeff Howe would always play and do a thing. It was a great time, man. It was great because I love radio, and to be able to do that old-style type radio, it was broadcast live on real radio while it was going on.
Oh, that's cool. So somebody had, some poor schlub had to be the back.
Had to be a board op. I you know what? I'm surprised it wasn't me.
I was that board op. If they would have had that up here, I would have been the board op.
You know, speaking of worst board op job, I had to run the board for the Florida State Seminoles football games when I worked at the Crow.
Oh, God.
And we had a hurricane that was hitting Daytona at the time. I had to drive through the worst weather because they had a game up in Tallahassee so I could run the board. Yeah, that was not a fun time.
No, absolutely not. I would say the worst time I had running a board was my first year in commercial radio. They were so adamant about running high school games, and they would run these tournaments. So I would be there for like 12 hours because they would start at 8 o'clock and they wouldn't end until 8 o'clock at night. It was insane. Talk about pull your hair out. I mean, it's one thing if the games are competitive, but all of them were blowouts. So you're just listening to, and then at the same time, you're like, you feel bad for the kids just getting blown out. How can they still even go out there and play? I would have gave up and walked into the locker room at that time.
At least I got to run the board for a great football announcer who is Gene Deckerhoff that does the games for the Seminoles and the Buccaneers.
Okay. I had to run the board for the Seahawks games. I don't remember who their announcers were, but I never cared because I'm not a Seahawks fan.
Yeah. And the Dolphins got blew out too. Tua's a paper tiger.
He is. I used to love going to Dolphin games when I lived in South Florida and Marlin games. I was there when they, did that last World Series run and
at the football stadium.
Yeah. And up until then, even until they got into the playoffs, the fucking place wouldn't sell out. So you could have a whole section of stands by yourself, screaming shit, and it's reverberating off and everybody can hear it.
Yeah. And also, the Dolphins, man, they had a great team back in the day. I remember my favorite player was Brian Cox. And I remember that he hated Phil Hendry because Phil Hendry used to, I think there was a big lawsuit at one time.
About him shitting on him?
Yeah, because he would do like a Brian Cox impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really good. But I guess, you know, football players or athletes don't have a sense of humor.
No, my favorite Dolphin was Mercury Morris.
Oh.
Because he liked to party and he liked to play ball.
What about, was Reggie Roby ever on the Dolphins, the only black punter that I know of in the NFL history?
What about Marquez King or whatever that was on the Raiders a few years ago? He was
black. Well, you want to know who we had to play against? Well, he came to our... Sebastian Janikowski. Do you remember him? The kicker?
Yeah, he played up until a few years ago.
Yeah, man. Dude, he was kicking 63-yard field goals in high school.
Good Lord. He's like the Martin Gramatica of now. Remember how long that guy stayed around for? Him and his brother, Bill?
Yeah, they do a lot of... they do this kickball tournament over here for a fundraiser. And it's actually really, really cool. I got to be a part of it when I was on the bone one time. But Martin Gramatica, I remember he used to celebrate like he was a goddamn soccer player.
Yes.
And he actually hurt his leg. He tore ligaments because he was like celebrating after a game winning touch or field goal. And it was out for the rest of the season.
The best story like that was Gus Frerotte when he played for, he actually played for the Dolphins too. But when he was playing for the Vikings, he went to go headbutt in the end zone in the goalpost and he knocked himself out.
Well, speaking of best,
and didn't play again for a while until he went to the Dolphins.
Speaking of the best Dolphins kicker, in my opinion, is Pete Stojanovic.
Oh, okay. Yes.
he was there when Dan Marino played.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my favorite Dolphin kicker was Ray Finkel.
Laces out, Dan.
Actually, it would probably be third favorite kicker would be Snowflake then.
Oh, yeah. Does Pet Detective still hold up, you think?
The first one, yes.
Yeah.
The second one, not really, because it references too many other movies. Like the whole cliffhanger thing in the beginning, I get it. It leads him to go become a Buddhist or whatever and get kicked out of there. But yeah, the second one, not so much. It's still funny. I mean, both of them. They wouldn't make them today, especially the first one.
I don't know, man. They're remaking a lot of shows. Did you see that they're redoing the Wonder Years?
Really?
Yes, but with a black family.
I like it. I wish they were Asian, though.
Yeah, they already got that one. How is that not? Well, I mean, it is an Asian writer. So, but that show Fresh Off the Boat.
Like, yeah, that show got. Well, that one chick was the one that plays the mother was in that movie about the hookers that J-Lo did. And she when she got
Ballers. Hustlers.
Yeah. When she won like an Oscar or something for her role, she complained about the other that show being on still. And then it got canceled like the next season.
Yeah, man, I don't know, man. They're remaking a lot of stuff.
What remake are you most excited for?
I can't even, like, I get turned off on them, like, so quickly. Like, I have a feeling they're one day going to try to remake Back to the Future, and I will never, ever, like, give that a time of day if they try to remake that movie.
Yeah, they'll never do it the same, of course they won't do it the same because it'll all be CGI. The remaking thing is a little ridiculous. They can't find any new writers to come up with new ideas. There's got to be tons of people out there with great ideas. Instead, they just keep retreading or pumping out more superhero crap.
Yeah, what's one movie that can't be remade? Like, it's sacred.
Oh, that's a good question, because so many, like we just brought up, so many can, they'll just do it anyway. I would probably have to say, that's a good point.
And what about iconic actors that have played parts? Like, I'll give an example. Hugh Jackman, and I know you don't watch the superhero movies, but Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Like, okay. I mean, everybody looks at Hugh Jackman as, you know, Wolverine. Is it because that he played it for so long that we could not see anybody else playing it? Like, for example, you know, the Spider-Man movies. Tobey Maguire was the first Spider-Man, and then they brought all these other people in. Like, is it because that it's just what we're accustomed to, or, like, I don't know.
I would think so because just like you said, he was in so many of the movies. I mean, I remember watching the first one in theaters, the first X-Men movie that came out, and I thought it was great, him as the Drifter Wolverine fighting people in little dive bars and shit like that. That was a good character. The rest of the movie wasn't that great.
Well, I mean, all right, back to the Future. Originally it was another character or actor, and it wasn't Michael J. Fox.
It was Eric Stoltz.
Would the movie have been just as good with Eric Stoltz?
Seen any of the scenes? Because there's scenes on YouTube and stuff like that they actually shot part of the movie with him. So you can see like the scene in the diner where he looks. Mm-hmm. They have that scene with Eric Stoltz in it. No, it wouldn't have been the same. He needed to go on and play Mask, Rocky Dennis.
Yeah.
And also the drug dealer in Pulp Fiction. Nobody can forget that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one with the hard stab. Wasn't it supposed to be another actor that was supposed to play that part?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
But, like, I mean, there's just so many of those, like, iconic, like, roles that you just can't replace. Like, could you imagine, like, I know that they're grasping at straws with they're trying to do another Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But could you imagine anybody else besides Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think they're trying to shift the story now onto some chick, because Harrison Ford got messed up filming some scenes. He like broke his collarbone or something. I forget what he did. But
how long is Clint Eastwood going to work for?
Until he dies.
Yeah.
And maybe even a movie after that. Well, I bet you Clint Eastwood will be like,
it'll Tupac. Be like Tupac, right?
Yeah. A movie will come out after he dies. 1 year later, he'll win like all the awards he can, because that's what they do when anybody dies. They never acknowledge the great stuff they did until after they're dead.
Well, Michael K. Williams didn't win an Emmy for Lovecraft Country, and everybody was pissed off about that.
You know what show he was good in? Happen, Leonard. It's on Netflix. It was on like the Sundance Channel or something like that.
Yeah, how did he get that scar? Does anybody ever?
Yeah, he told the story. It was in a, I think it was in a bar fight. Somebody cut him.
Man, that's like right. I mean, that's cutting it close because it goes right between the eyes, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. But that it makes him. I remember watching The Wire for the first time and being like, holy shit, that guy was menacing as fuck looking. And then they find out that he was playing a gay character who was also kind of a drug addict, although they didn't really.
No, he wasn't a drug dealer. He was stealing from the druggie.
No, he wasn't a drug dealer. He was kind of a drug addict. Because in the first scene, they actually talk about it a little bit because the one chick's like, do you want ends on this, Mr. Omar? And he's like, nah, I'm good. And then they don't really talk about it after that. They just show him robbing people and stuff like that.
Do you think Chris Rock played the best crack addict of all time in movies?
In what? New Jack City?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he gets chased, that's great. Or when he's like, give me a little turkey leg there.
Or that scene, like he finally gets clean and then they give him some rock and he's sitting there crying right before he's about to put the glass pipe in his mouth.
Dude, that scene where it's all dark and he's like smoking and then he's like, that was intense. That was actually a good movie. A young, what about Judd Nelson was in that too.
Yeah, he was.
And so was Mario Van Peebles.
Van Peebles? Yeah. Melvin Van Peebles died. I don't know if that was his dad.
Yes, it was. He did a great movie about his dad called that's Sweet Badass something. I forget. And it's about his dad making those blaxploitation movies and how he didn't have a budget or anything like that. It's kind of like Dolomite.
Jackie Brown?
No, it's kind of like that Dolomite movie that Eddie Murphy made where they're showing him explaining how he made the pictures. So in that sense. But it's really good.
You know, Mario Van Peebles was also in a movie. Wasn't he in a movie where they hunted him? How did nobody like not? I think it was like Surviving the Game or something.
Ice-T was in that movie. They tried.
Oh, that was
him.
Oh yeah, it was Ice-T. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh man, that makes me look like a big racist. You know,
it does,
that.
Especially because they're two different shades. How can you get them confused? One of them's
Mario Van Peebles is light skinned.
Yeah, but not compared to Ice-T. And Ice-T has been a staple on the SUV there for years.
You know, I've never been a musician, but like SVU like is so like uncomfortable to watch sometimes because I don't know how. But I wanted to name a band after they kept it. They would always say Vaginal Rape Kit. Like every other show. And I was like, man, that would be a great punk band. Vaginal Rape Kit.
They did that a lot. Remember when CSI would always be a pube? Somebody got busted because of a pube or something like that. It was always a little hair.
Yeah.
They're bringing that back. Speaking of reboots, and William Peterson's in it too, who was in a great movie called To Live and Die in L.A. with a young Willem Dafoe.
Man. All right, Charlie. Well, tell people how they... Well, you know what? I'll do it. Follow Charlie on Twitter at Real Lame Charlie. What do you got up? What are you up to the rest of the day? Going in?
Yeah, I got to go to work here in a little bit and then come home. Yeah, my neighbor's getting sued. We'll save that for the next story because maybe I can talk about it then. So I had to
watch Arlington Road.
I'm watching Arlington Road this weekend. I looked up how to watch it and it said it's on Stars. So I'll sign up for a free 7-day trial and watch Stars
and then cancel it. I do that all the time.
Absolutely. I do that a lot too, except you know what's coming out on the first, but I can't do that because you got to sign up for a month is Mini
Sopranos.
I'm gonna go see the theaters.
I probably will too. All right, man. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day.
All right, thanks Tuttle for having me on.
All right, man.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show, everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.